Hey friends, good morning or good afternoon. Thank you for watching this video. This sermon is from this past couple of days that I preached, and the name of the sermon is called Trusting God in the Highs and Lows, and I hope that it can be a blessing for you. Again, thank you for watching wherever you are. Our congregation is praying for you. So if you are a member of Crossroads, thank you so much for watching this sermon video. Thank you for keeping up with us. The text actually came from the second book of Timothy, and it reads like this: "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I direct you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and Christ of Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without fault or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about it at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in approachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be the honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Long passage from Timothy. Paul is the one who's writing this, and I encourage the congregation, and I'm encouraging you, hoping that you're still watching this video, that as you've heard this passage, you were thinking that it came from a good source, right? Paul is writing this to his beloved friend and mentee. And we have to understand that this is a mentoring relationship. This is part of a mentoring process that is happening here, right? And what's cool about it is that God uses mentoring relationships to strengthen the faith of everyone involved, including those who are mentoring, right? And those of us who've been part of a mentoring relationship know that lives can be transformed, not just for the mentee, not just from the person, usually younger person, who is part of this process, but also for the mentor who is learning, who's absorbing, who is getting to know new things. Like the text from Proverbs says, "An iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." So it's both people, right? It's all of the people who are involved in this relationship that are changed. And so we have to look at this passage from that perspective. And then, just as some of our mentors have been in our lives, there are some mentors who love to tell hard truths to people, right? No matter how painful that truth may be, certain mentors just love to do that, right? Just so we can be better, so we can be encouraged, so we can change certain attitudes and behaviors. Well, guess what? Paul is one of those mentors who love to tell hard truths, who love to share the wisdom, and he doesn't want to waste any time. He doesn't want to waste no ink. So he's going to the heart of the issue. And there's a spoiler alert here, because the issues that early Christians faced are the same. Very similar, just lived out differently, but it's the same. And you probably have heard one of the verses that I recited here: "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." So we probably have seen this verse in popular culture. And what Timothy is saying here is, it's not that money is bad. It's not that money inherently is evil, but it's the use of it, right? It's that we know money can be a wonderful thing, right? We are children of a generous God who has made all of creation, right, for us to take care of, for us to be responsible for us to enjoy, just as we reminded last Sunday in the pet's blessing, right? God is so rich. God has given us everything to take care of, and also expects us to use the resources that God has given us for good. It is the love of money, the fanatic obsession with money in of itself, the scripture is warning about. And this is a very similar theme seen in scripture. Even Jesus says, well, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve wealth and you can't serve God, both of them together, right? And the word that is used in scripture is a transliterated term from Aramaic to Greek, which is mammon. And it's the equivalent of a false god, right? A lowercase g. So what can happen is this. It's so easy for us to get comfortable in this false sense of security that the love of money can bring, right? Because we're making money, things are well, and this can create this false sense of stability that can hinder our worship with God. And you know, I remember conversations in seminary with colleagues. Memories that I have from seminary are very dear ones, very beautiful memories. Just a season of dreaming, learning, you know, listening from other stories. And I was sharing, conversations with certain colleagues, older, you know, friends and colleagues who had been in ministry for a while, and we discussed about why was it that church was decaying, churches were dying, people weren't going to church anymore. And, you know, this colleague of mine, he loved to mention that one of the reasons why the church had stopped being the hub of the community was that we were living in a century where it was so easy to worship false gods. There were other pleasures, other flavors, other activities that replaced living a life of prayer, a life of devotion, life of commitment, passion for God. There were other false gods that made it harder to trust in God. And so when we debated, some people had different perspectives. I had some of comments and reservations or additions to make. But I loved how we always talked about our own lives, our own personal calling, because every ideology, every comment or opinion are rooted in a story. And so we always talked about when God reached us, even in the lowest of the low, just how God uses crisis in our lives. Suddenly, when our reality bubble is pierced, then we sometimes look for meaning and purpose and we seek for God. So it's contradictory sometimes when in low moments we seek for God. And it is also in high moments where we are living a good life that we can not look for God. But I think it's a reminder for us today that in the highs or the lows, God calls us. God is still there. God wants us to worship. God wants us to be in communion with God's children. God wants us to still be connected in one way or another, in the lowest and the highest of lives. And so throughout the week, I've been really excited to see how Crossroads, how we as a community of faithful have been seeking out different ways to connect, right? And for those of us who are watching, we have returned to our growth groups. We have Tressie, who's leading a growth group called Salvation of Doctor Who. We have your pastor here, who is leading a Spanish and Scripture growth group. And just this week, although it was super busy, it was also joyful just seeing how the Quilters group were back as well, meeting and connecting and having conversations on Wednesdays. The choir also met Wednesday evening. Different ways of connecting. And something as I was conversing with people who were coming in and out of the building, I heard a common thing too, that wherever they went, whatever they were hearing either on the radio or on the news. It was bad news. Bad news with earthquakes, hurricanes, more war in Ukraine. The tensions between Russia and Ukraine are getting worse. The flow of immigrants coming into the U.S. and unfortunately they're put in this, you know, what seems like it's a game, a political game, and they're sent to Martha's Vineyard, and people complaining about that from all directions. So a lot of bad news. And usually I try to watch the show called The Daily Show. It was hosted by Jon Stewart back in the 2000s. I really enjoy his comedy. And then just recently in the last 5 to 8 years, there's a new person who came. His name is Trevor Noah. He's from South Africa. And I was listening to one of his skits, and he mentioned something that I thought it was interesting that I would love to share with you. He mentioned that the founder of Patagonia, his name is Von Chunard. He's been the founder of Patagonia for many years. He's an older fellow who's retired. He's, you know, living the life, right? He is, you know, out and about, fishing, doing golf. But just recently, he made news because he and his family donated their ownership of all of the money going towards protecting the planet. And you would say, well, that's what, you know, rich people do. He's a billionaire, right? Well, yes, but the thing is, he went farther. He sold all, he gave up all his shares to Holdfast Collective, which it's an organization that put all its energy, efforts, and resources to saving the planet from climate change. And this man, Vaughn, put on his website of Patagonia, he put, Earth is now our only shareholder. And that impressed me, because he just didn't do this to spend his money or to look good or, you know. No, he gave up most of his money and resources because of what seems like an urgent and noble cause. He has recognized that our planet is in danger. He has recognized that he needs to put all his chips and trust in that this move will help, that this move can be a catalyst for others to join. And I thought that was an amazing example, because you usually don't hear a story about billionaires giving that kind of example. And so this is a person who's got a lot of financial resources, who has felt the need, who has seen a noble cause, and putting all his effort, all of his energy to serve humanity. And we know that movements start like this, right? Sometimes it's just one person talking with another at a coffee place, at a church. Sometimes it's just one growth group. Sometimes it's just one conversation. And then suddenly it's a catalyst and things begin to happen. And there is trust in the process. There is trust in the faithful steps. I was listening to this sermon this week as well. And yeah, pastors also listen to sermons, right? And it was about, you know, the pastor was sharing the story of a family. You know, it was parents and a couple of children, and they went along with a scientist friend, and they went to Canada. And here they were, and they stumbled upon a large hole in their trip as they were hiking, and the hole was really deep, and they realized really quickly that there was a bird there. And then after a little while, they realized that it was an eaglet. And suddenly they start to, you know, to look around, making sure that there wasn't, you know, the mama eagle. And they just wonder, how did it end up there by itself? And so they decided to try to save it. And the scientist went to the boy and asked the boy and said, well, you know what? I can give you $100. And what we can do is we can tie you in a rope. We can toss you over there. And we can try to see if we can save the eaglet. And the boy quickly said, no, I'm not going to do that. The scientist friend tried to persuade the boy, and he said, well, I can double it. I can make it more money if you want, and it's going to be safe. I'll get the rope, and we'll make sure that you'll be okay. And the boy said, no, I'm not going to do that. The scientist got a little frustrated and said, well, what do you suggest we do? Do you want to save this eaglet? And if so, what can we do about it? Now you tell me what we can do. And the boy said, well, I don't need anything. I'll do it for free, as long as my daddy holds the rope. And I thought of that story when I first heard the sermon. And I said, isn't that the story of our faith? That at some point in our lives, we have said yes to God. Yes. Yes, it looks hard, right? It's a hole. There's a lot of mystery, a lot of uncertainty, but I will do it as long as you are with me, as long as it's you holding the rope. And so as we have heard the passage from Paul about telling Timothy, right, pursue righteousness, pursue faith, trust, love, perseverance, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith. And it's good sometimes to hear it from a mentor. And at some point we have to discern and think about it. It's good to hear a sermon that is empowering us, but at some point we have to say, God, can you hold the rope, please? This sounds all good. It sounds like, yeah, I want to save the piglet. I want to do something for humanity. But God, can you hold the rope? And so this is the good news, that God has not given up on us. That God wants to use us for big, for bold, for big things, right? For projects that will transform society and that will transform us in the process. So it's not all gloom and doom. God has big plans for us. And all it takes is trusting God in the highs and lows. Just like the psalm that we read as well. That God is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so we have been seeing the different kinds of ways that God has moved here at Crossroad. Not just the last 3 months, but the whole year, previously with Pastor Scott. Not just the whole year, but just the last decade, the last 30 years of the birth of Crossroads. God has been moving. God has been taking us from one season to another. And so as we celebrate the work that we're doing here as a congregation, now that we have also a student pastor who is doing her internship with Garrett Evangelical Seminary, a partnership that we have with the conference, now as we get ready to continue building the foundation for what will come many years from now, we are trusting in God, trusting that God is with us, that God is holding the rope with us. So I invite you to be part in any way that you can, from home. From home, you can pray with and for us. You can also send your financial contributions to us, because God is doing something that we're following and trying to follow the Holy Spirit. So won't you pray with me? Wonderful God, you hold the rope. You hold the rope as we navigate in uncertainty and mystery of your calling. But God, we just are trusting you because you've held our rope before. You've sent us out and you have worked in us. And so we see the fruits of your calling. We see the fruits of the legacy of faith through our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors. And you have brought us until here. And so we just pray, O Lord, that you use us to transform our community and our society. Give us a cause. Give us a noble cause, just like you've been giving noble causes to people throughout the ages. And help us trust, even in the lows and highs of this journey of being a disciple, that we can trust in one another, that we can trust in your mission and vision, that we can trust that we are where we need to be. And we pray for everyone who is watching this video, that you can bless them, bless their families, that you can surround them with love and care, and that they know that they have a loving congregation who thinks and prays for them. All of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.